Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. If this is your first time, please make yourself comfortable as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, lasting health, and so much more. Having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I am grateful to have met and worked with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, you can all do me a big favor. Please check out some of our past shows at answersforthefamily.com to hear some informative and entertaining guests, as well as some dynamic co-hosts, discuss ways for you and your loved ones to become happier, healthier, and more at peace. I'm also looking for some show ambassadors who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media network or someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. I want you to know that I truly appreciate it, and this is just another way that we can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, joining me once again is Jesse Cove, an actor and even better, a great human being who I'm confident is going to make a positive difference in the world for a very long time. Now, joining us as well is Scott Seymour. Scott, please share a little bit about yourself and what you and Jesse are up to.
Thank you very much. Well, Jesse and I know each other from my acting background, but most recently we have built a program and a podcast called Evolving Gladiators, where we as a group, just as a collective, never stop fighting to become the best versions of ourselves, mixing all forms of healing from mental health to spiritual health to physical and emotional health. Mixing Eastern and Western medical methods, and just trying to find a better way that we can all strive to be better versions of ourselves.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, and I wish you all the success, and I'm looking forward to the show as well. So I know I want you guys to be back on so we can tell people exactly when and where.
Thank you very much.
All right. Patrick Erlinson also joins us to share details regarding the second annual See It End It Film and Arts Festival, which will be held on Friday, April 3rd, 2020, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday, and April 4th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the Warner Grand Theater and Grand Vision Annex in San Pedro, California. This is your opportunity to join him and many others who are making a positive difference in the world. Now, as one of the MCs of last year's event, I can tell you that this film and arts festival is both entertaining while sending a powerful message to end the exploitation of our fellow human beings. Patrick, what can we expect to see and hear at this year's event?
Thank you so much, Alan. And thank you so much for being a part of the first inaugural See It End It Film and Arts Festival. This year, we're really excited because it's actually growing. And so we've expanded into the street. So we now spilled out of those two venues and we are blocking off the street. We're going to have a stage. So there'll be a lot more kind of free entertainment, music, dance. About 40 resource organizations will be there. So the intention of the festival is I kind of came under attack when we first wanted to call this a festival because the subject is dark. The subject is traumatic and heavy. But we wanted to call it a festival because we wanted to keep this atmosphere of when we all work together, we can end this. And this is something to celebrate, that we, when we start to really cherish each other as human beings and say that children should not be sold, we actually have something to celebrate there. So there will be that kind of a festive environment of learning what's happening with human trafficking. So there's the whole education component, but then there's music and dance and ways that we can really celebrate together. So we have a tremendous number of just high quality, excellent films, short films. And one of the things this year that's really, to me, is very exciting is we're focusing on foster care. As many people know, about 70-80% of the children who are picked up for being prostituted in the state of California are coming in some way out of the foster care system. which is just horrifying that you have kids that are already feeling and questioning their own sense of worth and value and whether they're even wanted in this world, and then going through a system that is enabling them to be exploited in the most horrible way. So we have films that are made by foster youth. We have a documentary that was written by foster youth about their experience. We have the Boys and Girls Club has written a screenplay, and that they're providing a film for us. We have films that are made by youth and for youth. There's a mother-daughter film that was made, Mother-Daughter Productions in Hollywood. They made a film called Unseen, which we're going to be showing. And the daughter wrote the music for it and performs. So we're going to have the film and the performance by the daughter. So we really want to engage young people. And that's something that's really exciting about this festival. It's not only addressing this horrible issue, but it's a chance for families to become aware, families to engage with the issue, and the result being prevention of more children being taken.
Well, I am so thankful that you're doing this, and I remember that there were some people that had made some comments or whatever last year, and to tell everybody, if you don't shine a light on something, okay, people aren't going to see it, and if people don't see it, nothing gets done. So to me, it's absolutely a festival. Last year, you had some incredible people that had fought through and had thrived afterwards, you know, and that's what you can celebrate. You can celebrate the people that have gotten out of it and are now doing incredible things to help other people. So thank you.
That's exactly right. Yeah, thank you so much, Alan.
All right. So now our topic today, it's also the title of our guest's new book, is How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps.
I'm ready.
I know. When I first read that, I was, really? So, but I got to tell you, see, I'm excited to be reintroduced to our guest. Okay. I first recognized him when he was making a positive difference in the world, when I saw his movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? When I saw that movie, it instantly changed the way I looked at a lot of things. But what I've learned since then is William Arndt, he's a physicist, a software entrepreneur, and an author. He wrote simulators for the early Star Wars program. He created software that the Fortune 500 world runs on today, as well as co-creating the book of visionary prophecies. It's called the Not-So-Little Book of Surprises with his wife, Deirdre Haid. So with that, William, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, I got to tell you, I was so impressed, as I said, I've been reintroduced to you. But when my publicist and producer contacted me and said, "Okay, we're going to talk to the author of a book, How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps," and I wanted to say to her, I go, "Do you remember what this show is supposed to be about?" I go, "We're really trying to avoid that, and I don't know that we want to teach people how to do it better." So with that, I mean, what inspired you to write this particular book?
Well, it all happened one night when I was walking through the living room, and my wife, Deirdre, was laying on the couch, and her back was out. She was laying there, and I walked through the living room, and I said, "Honey, what are you doing?" And no comment. I said, "Well, do you want to go into the kitchen? You know, maybe have some Chardonnay. Maybe that'll cheer you up." And she just kind of groaned. I said, "Honey, what are you doing?" And she goes, "I just want to lay here and suffer." And I kind of stopped because no one says that, right? And so I said, "Well, what are you doing?" And she goes, "I'm perfecting my suffering." And I just started to laugh because it was so crazy. And I know a lot of people in the self-help movement, a lot of people have written books. I have a lot of friends who have done that. And so I said, as a joke, I said, "Oh, someone needs to write the self-help book, How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps." And so I started laughing. She starts laughing. And then she kind of rolls over, and we start riffing on this whole thing about a self-help book on how to suffer in 10 easy steps. And, you know, we kind of figured, you know, it was a joke. It was a satire on self-help books. And, you know, we start coming up with other things. Oh, there needs to be a suffering hall of fame. There needs to be this. There needs to be that. And so by now she's sitting up, we're laughing, we go into the kitchen and laugh about it. And it's one of those things, you have these, you know, these crazy notions one night, and then you figure you'll wake up the next day and forget about it. But a month later, I'm still thinking about this. It's stuck in my mind. And so I decided to start writing it, the satire part of it, the satire, the self-help. But what happened was, as I started writing it, I started realizing that it was a vast subject, and it was really a subject that people tend not to talk about or look at. You know, they, everyone tries to avoid it. They think of things so that they don't suffer. They obscure it. And the notion of dealing with it in a very direct way doesn't really come about. So I started really realizing it was the gorilla in the room that no one was dealing with. And the trouble is, if you don't deal with it directly, more often than not, it just keeps continuing. And then I thought, well, how to suffer? I mean, everyone suffers one way or another. So what about how to suffer? How to suffer well? How to suffer with dignity? You know, how to suffer so you get the lessons from it and move on to something better, something transformative. So these things started emerging as I'm writing this book.
Yeah, because people start looking at suffering like it's a bad thing. Sometimes the most beautiful things come from the strife and come from this. So sometimes the beauty comes through sitting with the emotions and letting yourself feel your emotional spectrum.
Exactly. Yep. And people, you know, people tend not to do it. They're feeling horrible about something or suffering, and so they, you know, they just turn on the TV, distracted. They go to the bar. They just, you know, whatever they do.
Instagram,
as opposed to saying, really putting some conscious awareness on how to deal with it.
Well, William, now, I mean, the book appears to be a roast on self-help books, because there could have been a lot of ways to write this. It could have been written, you know, the 10 ways to not suffer, you know, but by doing this, are you also trying to point out maybe what self-help books are also missing?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of that there. And also pointing out the thing that self-help books do, they often promise the world and tell you it's going to be easy and say, just follow our 5 or 10 or 6 or 7 steps and you will achieve the abundance you always want. You'll be able to find your perfect dream lover. You'll be able to whatever in these easy steps. And so part of it is like, well, you know, a lot of the stuff that people want in their life is not easy. It's like how to be successful, how to be a millionaire in 10 easy steps. Most people I know who are millionaires, if you say, hey, was it easy? They just look at you like you're crazy. They're like, no, it was a lot of work. It was really difficult. So part of it is sort of blowing up that notion that, oh, to change, to transform, it's just an easy, just it's like a cookbook. It's like baking a cake. You do these 8 things, and then it'll happen.
William, this is Patrick.
Kind of.
I'm sorry to interrupt. What you were saying just reminded me of Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And I just wanted to get your take on the idea of being able to endure suffering by seeing significance to it, by attaching meaning to the suffering.
Well, I think that's true. And to attach the meaning often, I mean, on the one hand, there's something where, you know, you're suffering because, let's say, you hurt someone you care about, and you are, you know, unthinking and unconscious, or just ego, who knows why, but you hurt someone you really care about. And in that case, that suffering that you're feeling, that guilt that you're feeling, can be used to transform you to a different state where you wouldn't do that again in the future. In other words, to really grow. So I think that there's on the one end of the spectrum, there's that. The other end of the spectrum is a wind comes in and blows down a tree on your house, breaks it in half, you know, and it, you know, you love your house and boom, and now your life is going to be a mess for a while trying to clean it up, and your favorite something got destroyed. You know, in times like that, do you what meaning do you attach to that? It just seems to be a random thing, but nevertheless, the universe has brought that to your door. So you really, fairly quickly, when you look at suffering, and this is one thing that I realized in writing the book, when you really start looking into it, a lot of philosophical, metaphysical, religious, spiritual questions start coming up as to, well, why does this happen? And for that, that's part of the path that we all go on to make sense of this life that we have.
It reminded me of one thing with working with survivors of human trafficking, which is more along my line of looking at suffering. But it's seeing the people who have come through just the most horrible abuse and kind of atrocious treatment in their lives, and then coming through that and then turning that into a message to others. And it just seems like there are these people who have come through just incomprehensible suffering, but then they turn that into a message to inspire or to awaken others. And that just seems to be another thing that happens when you actually accept your suffering, when you come to terms with it, and then you decide, okay, I'm going to turn this into something really positive and helpful to others.
Well, that's definitely true. And that's where the for each individual, the choice of how you relate to the suffering, it's really, we have more choice in that than we think. I mean, it often, when you feel like that the tree falls on your house, you kind of feel like a victim.
Right.
You can go into the victimization. Unfortunately, when you go into that, then you're kind of stuck there. But other people make different choices. Like you just said, someone who was in this trafficking thing, which is just, horrible, 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 horrible. Okay, that happened. No one wants that. We certainly wouldn't want that to happen to everyone. But when it happens, is how do you make sense of it? And there's a question that then people have. Okay, this happened to you. It's horrible. What are you going to do with it? How will you relate to it? Will you just say that, is your life over? Or, like you said, some people get inspired and really transform and become someone different because of that. And, again, you can get philosophical and say, well, why did certain people do that? And there's, different theories on that. But in the end, it's like you're in the state that you're in. What are you going to do with it? And that's part of what, the book, the first part is a roast. I'm having fun with it. Oh, the easy ways. Here are the easy ways to suffer. And the idea being that really, obviously, if you don't want to suffer, you do the opposite.
Right.
So
right.
It's sort of the inverse. And, people all pretty much get that. But as I got more and more into it, I realized more and more things about it that were really quite compelling. I mean, let me tell you, I never in my life ever thought I would write a book on suffering.
Well, we're glad you did.
Yes, exactly.
I've been a physicist and, software guy and, filmmaker. So the idea of actually writing a book about something so internal and personal is that, it's like, well, let some psychiatrist or therapist or someone who's studied this all their life write the book. But again, sometimes the universe just assigns you things and, there it is.
Hey, William, it's Jesse Cove here. Thanks so much for sharing all that. It's really just such an incredible topic. And something you touched upon, which I think is such an important thing, is perspective, right? Like the perspective of these different situations that happen to people. And I think it's unbelievably difficult. I mean, I've been there myself. Is how do you shift into that perspective, right? Your tree falls on your house, you go through a horrible experience, and you change that perspective to turning it into somehow a positive point in your life. I mean, it's incredibly difficult. I've gone back and forth with this many times in my life, but I think that's a key element that you're talking about is just kind of, okay, great, my car's on fire. Maybe this is a good thing. I need a new car. My wife was asking me to get a new car, so this is the sign that the universe wanted to tell me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that all the time. I have one thing that really works for me. There's, and I write about this in the book, there's an old Chinese story that people tell, and I won't go into it because it's kind of long, but the punchline's always, this guy says, could be good luck, could be bad luck, who's to say?
Right.
And
it's a great
in the story, everything flips back and forth, and then what seems to be good ends up turning out to be bad and vice versa. So part of it is that notion, like you said, like when things happen, they appear on the surface to be bad, but then, you know, 2 years later, you say, oh my God, it was really good I got fired because I was in a miserable job that I hated, and now I'm really happy. So there, part of it is the judgment that we put on our current situation. And we all do it. Everyone does it. Oh, this was good, this was bad. But again, right. That notion of good and bad, first off, you may not really know. And secondly, a lot of your notion of what's good and what's bad is just based on your belief system.
And it's a huge shift in perception.
It's kind of arbitrary.
Mm-hmm. It's a shift in perception of going, wow, these things happened to me. No, they didn't. These things all happened for me. It's a way that these things are all happening for you. It's a thing that I picked it up. I'm a student under Gabby Bernstein and under Tony Robbins, and it's shifting your mindset that there are lessons to be learned through these dark times. And everything does happen for you. So even with these, I just being here with you guys and even being connected to this brilliant storyteller and to the cultivator of so many storytellers and the cultivator of bringing us all together, these are all beautiful men who are showing up to do good work. And they're actually showing up because they have open hearts. And that just deserves to be a little bit acknowledged because that doesn't get to happen as much, or at least I'm being more exposed to this world and seeing it and shedding light on it. Like you said, like the bad things happen where the darkness stays. So it's the light that we get to shed to these places that we get to help, because that's the best way we can be of service. So I'm just grateful for you guys.
Well, Scott, thank you for that. And I think that's great. And yes, that's one of the reasons why I do this show, is because I don't have to reinvent everything. There are so many good people that are out there doing wonderful things. So I looked at it as, how can I set up a platform to be able to provide it for them? You know, it's much easier than trying to take on every negative thing that's going out there. Now, William, I've got a question in regards to what's kind of going on in our society. Talk a little bit about where it appears as though negativity is being hijacked and used against people, where we could use the same energy to be able to be focusing on so many wonderful things. Just last weekend, I was at the city summit, and there was speaker after speaker after speaker that was talking about all of the wonderful things that we all can be doing to make a positive difference. Okay, there was no media attention. Okay, that didn't end up on the news. Instead, the news was more focused on trying to hijack negative approaches, divisive messages. So my question to you, how can we make that shift? I've thrown some things out in the past or on the show of things that I think we should be doing. What do you think we should be doing to take this shift to the next level?
Well, it really... I mean, that's a big question that, you know, a lot of us wonder, because, you know, we look at the news and everyone knows that they want to put a train wreck on the news. They want to publish something of where people are fighting, where there's violent disagreement. And for some reason, you know, in the human psyche, so many people obviously want to view that. And it's so how do you change that? I mean, if no one was watching the news that had all this negative type stuff on, then they would change it. But everyone's watching it. It's kind of it kind of seems right now to be a default thing that people just go to. It's like I said, it's a train wreck. People can't take your eyes away, mm-hmm. and they want to hear about this conflict, you know, and maybe it's because it makes them feel better about their life. Maybe because people just enjoy the drama. And when you have the positive things, the things that are uplifting, the stories, they tend not to get the play on the news. Now in films, there are a lot of films where there are very positive things, and you see people have a real crisis, or they see a bad thing happening in the world, and they say, okay, I'm going to change this. I'm not going to do it. So there are, you know, and there are stories and there are books about that, but it seems like in the mass culture, the popular culture, there is this, let's just call it an addiction to the bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do you change it? I think the only thing you do is you just kind of chip away at it one thing at a time and put, like you're doing, you know, you have a show where people aren't talking about the conflict. They're not, you know, yelling at each other. They're trying to find a common ground and that. And, I mean, that's all we can do is put that out there, and hopefully humanity will get tired of this constant conflict.
Well, William,
and
thank
it's
you.
Like,
oh, I'm sorry.
It's I was like the question of.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say. I was going to say thank you for that. And you started out by saying that it's a big question, and I said, well, that's exactly why I was asking a physicist who's married to a mystic, and I would rather have your opinion than a politician.
Yeah, we should get my wife here. She could give you the a more mystical answer to that.
And we
would
set
say,
that up.
In fact, I know what she would say. She would say, well, this is something where, and I agree with her, that each person in your own life, you know, it's like, what's the no good deed goes unnoticed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
well, no,
it just helps someone across the street that you don't know because
they're a little befuddled.
You just help them across the street. You know, you open the door for someone. You know, those little things, that goes into the collective consciousness of the planet, too. And that's one way that you can uplift it out of this, like I said, addiction of violence and disagreement. You just, you know, look for common ground. Look for a way to connect with people. I know this one guy, he was running for governor in Colorado, and what he did, he said he has these dinners and he invites 4 Republicans, 4 Democrats, and 4 independents and sits them all down and they all have dinner together. And you know, that sort of thing, I thought, wow, that's a great thing to do. He said, you know, you got to learn to find the common ground with people that you might disagree with, because you're going to have disagreements with people. Everyone doesn't think the same.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you deal with the disagreements? How do you do that and still you know, honor the person? So that's a skill that, again, people really don't talk about very much, because most politicians, he's the only one I know who does that, do that. And so that's another way that you just, you know, we're trying to lift up the consciousness of humanity out of, you know, this morass we find ourselves in.
William, I it's Jesse again. I couldn't agree with you more about what you said. Couple things. I think it's also a value system of what people value today, right? Whether they value the drama, they value, you know, the stuff that just really isn't that important, and, you know, that sometimes the media can put out there. And I think, like what you said, it's kind of changing what people really value in the end to like the things that are important, you know, the change, life skills, you know, getting information that's truly important for their life, than rather than just pure entertainment, which I think is happening. And also what you said about, you know, changing the consciousness as well by doing little acts of like kindness, I think is a huge part of that. I know that I'm someone, and Scott and I talk about this all the time, we like to do little things, you know, even if I'm at the grocery store and there's a woman or a man bagging my bag, I always look at their name tag, I always ask them how they are, and I talk to them by their first name, and it literally brightens their day, and it keeps them going, and it just changes so much, and every time, and then I'll go back in again, and they'll remember me by my name, and it's those kind of things that just change the collective. And if enough people do that, like you said, we can chip away, and rather than with a small little hammer and nail, we have a sledgehammer.
Do it at a toll booth. Buy the coffee for the person behind you at Starbucks. Just do it once and just
Definitely.
Enjoy it.
And they'll do it for the guy
so
behind
great.
Him.
Exactly. Yes, they're going to pay it forward. You know what? We're going to take a break. The title of our guest's new book is How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps. But it's a spoof. What we're actually doing is we're talking about how not to suffer. And that's what makes the book so great. It is so entertaining. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis. Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585. Or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. And with us is Jenny Meatballs. And that is her internet name. It's actually Jenny Carrington. Jenny, where in the world are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be back this week. I am actually sitting at Buckaroo's Sandwich Shop on Route 60 nearing Quartzsite, Arizona. And yesterday I hit my 2,600 miles walked on my Earth Walk. So I'm really excited about that.
So, and
how are you doing today?
Well, we're doing great, but I want the audience to know a little bit about what it is that you're doing. Okay, when she says that she's in Arizona, she started walking on the East Coast. Okay.
Oh my goodness,
okay. So it's been 2,600 miles that she has walked, and this is what I'm talking about when I tell you how excited I get when I'm around young people that are making a positive difference. Because that's the time in which I say we're going to be okay. You know, We're really going to make it because of young people. You know, that's going to be the difference. And so I was so excited that I told her, I said, look, you need to call in the show. You need to call in the show every Monday until you get to the West Coast. And at that time, you know, I'd also like to have you on the show to come in, talk about the experience. But tell us a little bit about the charity and the messages that you're trying to get across to people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I came on last week on the show, and I let everyone know a little bit about what we're doing around helping to feed children. So our vision and the reason why I am walking is to bring greenhouses to schools. They're actually not just greenhouses. We call them spark pods. They're learning laboratories where kids can learn about how to grow their own food. So we're really excited about starting that vision in Los Angeles at Free LA High School. So I talked a little bit about that last week. This week, we have a special announcement. We are going to be partnering up with the Global Unity Foundation, which is the foundation where we met that held the City Summit and Gala. And we are going to actually be raising funds. The last leg of the Earth Walk will be raising funds for the foundation in furtherance of our ability to help them actually localize their mission through what we're doing. So the Global Unity Foundation wants to bring the Sustainable Development Goals from the United Nations local to LA and then go global. So since we have a solution that we're implementing here in LA, we're going to be able to work with the Global Unity Foundation to help them localize their goals and then scale it at a bigger impact with their networks and our networks combined. So we're really excited to announce that affiliation, and I would encourage everyone that's listening to immediately go to globalunityfoundation.org and check out their mission and go ahead and donate. We're actually channeling all of our resources and funds together under that umbrella for the last leg of the walk so that we can work together to bring these goals starting in LA.
That is such a beautiful thing. Now, for those of you that are driving out there and you couldn't write that down, we'll have that information on our website, theanswersforthefamily.com. We'll have all that information there. And Jenny, for those that just kind of want to see what's going on with you and they want to follow along your walk, how can they do that?
So it's very easy. My name is Jenny with a Y, Meatballs, like the food. So if you just Google Jenny Meatballs or search Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, any of the social media, you can find me and follow along my story. You know, I like to tell the story of where I'm finding my own food and being out here and talking to folks about their lifestyles and, you know, whether it's living on a ranch or living on the coast or somewhere in between. I'm learning a lot out here on the Earthwalk about how we can come together, again, global unity around food security for all, especially for our children and our next generation.
Wow. Jenny, this is Jesse. I think it's so incredible what you're doing. I mean, it's really beautiful. I hope that there's my friend Scotty was saying there's a crew following you or showing this progress that you're doing, and I can't wait to see it myself. And I just wanted to like ask you, when you're out there, and there's got to be points where it's getting pretty, is it difficult or it's hard, and like what's driving you in those moments?
Well, I could tell you some stories, but I'll keep it brief. Just in the last couple days, after the gala, actually, I was in the middle of the desert, and there were no streetlights, no homes, and there was a pack of coyotes in the middle of the night storming my tent.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. And the thing is, you know, I had had these odor-proof food bags for the whole trip, and they had gotten stolen just a couple days before the event, so the coyotes could smell my food. And so they were circling me, and you know what I did? I actually played music for them. Like
I played some music,
and I shined my light like a little club, and I had to stay up all night long playing the music so that they didn't approach me.
Well, Jenny, I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing, and taking the time to call in. I think is great. I want anybody out there, if you are connected to one of the major media sources that are out there spending so much time promoting hate and divisiveness, why are you not out there talking to her? Why is this not on every news channel? This is the type of thing that should be out there. This is where our eyes should be. This is where our ears should be, listening to these things, sharing this information with everybody. So anybody that's out there, we're in Los Angeles, okay? It's the media capital. I know you guys can do this, okay? You can go to the website she just said, or you can go to ours, and we'll connect it. Let's make it happen.
Alan, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to letting you know what's next up for Miss Meatballs.
Miss Meatballs, this is Scott. I was just really curious what music you played for those wild animals, if that's okay.
You serenaded them.
Yeah, you lulled them to...
Well, you know, Scott, I actually am a curator of music for our own earth-friendly, family-friendly music festival. So I wanted to give my people a little shout out. You can look up King Queen, KingKweeN, King Queen. I played their entire album. But I also played a little bit of Mumford and Sons.
Yes.
I played a little bit of Breaking Benjamin. I had to try a few different genres to see what was working for them.
I like it.
Oh, it is beautiful. So,
you're incredibly brave. You're amazing.
Absolutely. So
thank you.
Keep us posted, and we look forward to hearing from you again next week.
All right. I'll check in with you guys next week.
All right.
Thanks, Jenny.
Nice to meet you.
Take care.
All right, William, this has been an incredible day. I feel like we have so many great people on, and you know, and again, your book it's so beautifully written. It's humorous. It's satire. It has more of a satire tone to it, but yet it also has instructions. It has ways in which we can all become happier and healthier in our life. So share a little bit of some of the positive things that you have that are in the book that tell people how they can help turn things around for them.
Well, first is something we touched on earlier. I'll just talk a little more about it. And that's the thing of having an awareness, sort of popping outside of whatever state you're in this case suffering, to have some awareness and realize that you have a choice in how you're going to react to it. You may not be able to choose anything after your car catches on fire, but you do get to choose how you react to it. And so much of the time, everyone falls back into the way they've reacted before, and then it becomes a habit. So the one thing to know is you're not powerless in this situation, and you can choose how you're going to react and how you're going to move forward from whatever state you're in. So that's one of the things. The first half of the book is the 10 easy steps to suffering. So obviously, like I said, if you do the opposite, then you won't suffer. The second half of the book, it gets more serious, and I talk about the 6 slippery steps to end suffering. And the reason they're slippery steps is because sometimes they're appropriate and sometimes they're not, and that's where you have to use wisdom. An example of that would be one of the slippery steps is surrender. So your car catches on fire. What can you do? I mean, it's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just got to surrender. And at that point,
And get away from it.
Take a photo of it and frame it in your living room. Who has that?
That's right.
I mean, capture the amazing.
Capture the moment and put it out on social media.
I wish
maybe
I
you'll
had
get
that.
A million hits.
Everyone wished they had their car on fire in their living room.
That's something you can do. But sometimes surrender is not good. Sometimes surrender is not good. Like, you know, the people doing what you're talking about this horrible thing about human trafficking, you know, you don't surrender to that. You say, no, I'm not going to surrender to that. That is something that's wrong, and we're just not going to put up with it. Not on my planet that's going to happen. So, you know, if you're suffering because you know that is happening, it's happening to people, but you don't surrender to it. You just stand up and say, no, we're going to do something to stop this. So that's why it's a slippery step. All of these things, these techniques, another one is non-attachment. You know, people always joke about the Buddhists are always not attached to everything. And, at times, non-attachment's good. Yeah, the car is on fire. You know, okay, it's on fire. You don't get attached. But some people are so non-attached, they don't care about anything or anyone. They're kind of zombies.
Yeah, William, this is Patrick.
It turns out all of these, forgiveness is another one, that there's times when you want to employ them because it really will help you get out of your suffering, but there's times where, like, no, you just don't do that because it's not right, and that's where the wisdom has to come in, where you look at it, and, you know, where does the wisdom come from? Wisdom just comes from life, from experiencing it, and you try something one way, and it doesn't really work that well, and you know, you learn from it, which in the end, I think, is the purpose of suffering.
Yeah, William, there's one thing that you said that really kind of struck a chord, and that's one of the intentions of traffickers is to change the identity of the person that they're trafficking, and it's one of the reasons they like approaching children and trying to get younger people.
Just went away.
But if you can get them to accept,
isn't here.
You know, to where they're no longer resisting, to where they accept, okay, this is what I'm good for. This is why I exist. I exist to please men. I exist to make money for my trafficker. I exist because this is what I am.
To brainwash them.
Yeah, to brainwash them. But it's like you're actually changing their identity. And I think that's one of the things where you just hit on that, just like there is a time and a place kind of for acceptance, and there's a time and a place to really, you know, kind of be able to cling to your true identity. And that's just the tragedy of someone taking a child's identity and transforming that into something ugly and just commodifying it.
So William, are you still with us?
Oh, there you.
Okay, so yeah,
everyone went away. I couldn't hear you folks.
Oh no.
Well, essentially, Patrick was just talking about the fact that you really hit on the fact
here you
that.
Go again.
Oh, here we go again, huh?
Yeah. Can you hear me when...
We can hear you fine, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you well.
Yeah, I can hear, like right now, you folks have all...
Nothing? Have all nothing at all?
Yeah. Okay. This is not good. Well, okay. let's hope... Okay, right now I'm... So what I'm being told, William, is that our engineer is going to reconnect you because he thinks that it's on the connection that you're on. So... he's going to probably disconnect, bring you right back, and hopefully we will have fixed that. So in the meantime, folks, we're going to go into a tap dancing mode.
I wanted to touch upon a couple of things that Patrick was talking about. I don't think enough people know about some of the facts that, you know, I think is so important that, you know, human trafficking is a $150 billion a year business, which is astronomical and really quite shocking and sad. And I don't think people understand that.
No, they don't. And that's really what drives it and why it's the fastest growing
international crime.
$150 billion is a lot of money to be made. And so people are willing to take a risk if they can make big bucks.
And it's just so sad that there are customers for that, which is really just so revolting.
Well, and that's the horrifying thing to me. I mean, we've had an 11-year-old autistic girl being sold by gang members for sex. And the fact that there are men who are lining up to pay money for sex with an 11-year-old autistic child is just absolutely horrifying.
Before I even get to the numbers of it, even just hearing it was one of the first things you said when you got here. The first thing you said was, it's sad that people are selling children. Let's just boil it down. I mean, you already know. This is your world, but it's one of the things that people don't like to talk about, and it makes me uncomfortable physically just talking about it because it's so disturbing and traumatic that this is causing so much trauma to so many people's lives. And that it's just, we don't, but this is a beautiful way with what you're doing and how that people can really be, can show up and look at this from the source.
Right. I mean, we have to go upstream. You got to go upstream.
Right. Okay. I think we have William back. William, are you back with us?
Yes, I am back.
All right. So fortunately, Ronan has taken care of that. I wanted to comment a little bit about what you said, and I use a term very similar. It's called, I choose not to breathe that in. You know, so whatever it is, however negative something may be, and somebody will be trying to force that mindset or whatever it might be, I don't feel it's my job that I have to change them or I have to fix them, but I am allowed to say, I choose not to breathe that in. So it's just my terminology, but I think it ties right into what it was that you were saying in regards to what we can do when people are forcing negative things or pushing some sort of agenda that we don't necessarily believe in.
Well, that's absolutely true. And, you know, you see this with all the onslaught of technology these days, with all the stuff and all the phones and the 150 channels. Oh, no, make that 300 channels of TV and all the sort of stuff. You really have to pick and choose what you let into your awareness.
Okay, well, William, I think you can fix all of this because if you set up the early Star Wars program, can't you now change the technology out there that we don't want to hear anymore? I think you're just the genius that can do that. So if you can get working on that.
Well, if it was a technical problem, yeah, maybe. But unfortunately, you know, it's people are making a lot of money off of the technology these
I realize that. I just figured if it's Star Wars and it's up there and you can just take control over it, and then you can choose the ones that we really need and the ones that we don't.
He's working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Pretend like I didn't say that, folks. Okay. Because I gather you're still really working on it. We just don't want to let people know you're working on it, right? Okay.
Right, and the best way not to let people know about it is by letting people know about it. Then everyone will think that by letting people know about it, it may be too crazy, and so therefore it must not be happening.
But perfect. What reality is that happening in?
A twisted one.
Yeah, what you said, William, reminded me of a book I read a long time ago by Aldous Huxley's wife, Laura Huxley, and it was called You Are Not the Target. And it's really like she really brought up this point that people are releasing all this negative energy all the time. And if you take it personally, if you take it in, then you're going to release it negatively later. So it's like that there has to be kind of a process of recognizing that you're not actually the target. It's the problem with that person that's spewing stuff. And I think it's even, you know, it's become even more deadly with the internet and with social media, where you have this massive platform to be able to spew hate and criticism and bullying and all of those kind of things that are just so detrimental.
And William, first of all, I want to thank you so much for taking your time. The time has flown by, but I would love to have you and your wife back on. I can have Jan get a hold of you and set this up. This was actually one of those shows that if we could have scheduled a couple of hours, I think that we would still have plenty more to go over.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds great.
All right. So now share a little bit. Okay, for anybody that wants to be able to get the book or you want to see some, they have so much stuff on their website, folks. I mean, there are videos. There are links to the different movies. So I know part of it is that if you go to www.howtosuffer.info is one way. What are some other ways that people can get in touch with you or follow you and your wife?
Well, there's howtosuffer.info. There's the one that I usually give out is howtosuffer.me.
Okay.
I couldn't believe I got that URL, howtosuffer.me. so that's really the best place from there. Now, to find out more about what my wife is doing, the Mystic, her website is Deirdre Haid, and Deirdre is spelled DeirdreHade.com. And there's, you know, she has all her stuff on there. Or you can navigate through the howtosuffer.me. You get to the main page. My company is called Captured Light, and you can get to her from there, too. So it's all linked up together.
Well, again, I just want to thank you so much, and more so even to say thank you for all the things that you're doing, because very few people have stretched themselves so far to be doing things in so many different areas. And I love the fact that you seem to tackle so many things that are making a positive difference.
Absolutely. It's an old saying. Well, the old saying is for evil kind to of exceed, succeed in the world.
You know, then I never can control what I'm going to do. I just get obsessed and do it.
Well, keep doing
it. That's a beautiful obsession.
Yes. All right. And for everybody out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we're going to be joined by our special guest, Jacqueline Newland, to discuss her new book, New Rules of Divorce, 12 Secrets to Protecting Your Wealth, Health, and Happiness. Now, before we end, share a little bit more about, because I know that Scott and Jesse, you guys are going to be starting your own podcast. Share a little bit about that. And if there's a date coming up, what people can start doing to stay in touch with you so that they can know what's going to come with this.
Well, the podcast hasn't been released yet. Scott and I have been acquiring many different interviews all across the board. Great, great stuff. We're super excited to launch it. And, you know, we're here to open the conversation about healing, love. You know, a lot of it's catered towards men and kind of breaking the code mm-hmm. of, you know, the inner masculine, what that is. It's not all about pounding your chest and just being the bigger, you know, the bigger man in the room, but what's going on internally. So it's really a very special thing. We're very excited. And everyone we talk to about it is also very excited. And I think it's needed.
Yeah. And I'm lucky to be doing this with my brother. And it's cool to be having those soul brothers that you walk this path with. And Jesse and I know each other. We used to be actors. He still is. I used to be.
I used to be an actor.
It was 8 years of my career. I did a soap opera for a while, and then I moved on to nursing. And then I got my degree in nursing. And so I just got off of a 6-year addiction to Adderall last year when I sat for 2 ayahuasca ceremonies in Peru. Mm-hmm. That being said, they put me on a big self-help kick. And the more that I started focusing on the ways that I could be the better version of ourselves, it just became what we decided to be passionate about and create a podcast where we just shed the light on it and we change the conversations that men are having. And we start mm-hmm. saying, these are the things that we're feeling, and we might not have been told these things in society are right, but this is what speaks to my soul and this is what speaks to my core. And I want to talk about my feelings and the things that I haven't talked about. This is a place where we get to do that and explore that the same way that you are. So just being a light worker.
All right. Patrick, any final words?
One thing that I was recently asked was, like, what is it that keeps me up at night with the work that I do with human trafficking? And the thing that came to mind was, as long as this stays an over there problem and a those people problem, we don't solve this. And so it's really like, I really hope that people will attend, because showing up is doing something. And if you show up to the film festival, you're going to get an education. You're going to see that there's this camaraderie, that there are thousands of people who really want to see this end, and you can be a part of that. And so I really hope that people will come. And please check our website. It's seeitendit.com. That's SEEITENDIT.com. Learn about what we're doing, and then come and be a part of it. You know, this is a chance to come in a fun environment, not just a conference where you're going to beat over the head by how ugly this is, but really come and celebrate that we're going to end this, and you can be a part of that.
Thank you. For everybody out there, be good human beings. Be with us again next week on Answers for the Family. Here we go.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.